We've just completed a major milestone in 2012, near the end of this year. The presidential election has taken place. And I don't know about you, but I observed a lot of the activity, saw a lot of the advertisements, even listened to the last couple of debates between the two candidates. And the end result is that Barack Obama was reelected the 45th president of the United States. But when I watched the process and the proceedings, I couldn't help but think that this democratic political process is really an extreme world event. It's a worldly event and really lacks any spiritual value. I kept looking for is there any spiritual value in this? And I guess my conclusion is I really couldn't see any. You know, and according to one of the major news outlets, in October it was reported that this high-stakes prize for the two presidents is going to cost or will have cost in excess of $2 billion that will be spent on these campaigns. If you add in the other congressional election, the state and the national and the Senate and the House of Representatives, it's estimated that the tab exceeds $5 billion. So $5 billion was spent at least, there were some estimates of even more, to get us through this political season. And from an economic perspective, I don't know, my business background would tell me that if we're going to spend $2 or $5 billion on a project, we're going to get the very best returns. We'll have the best government that money can buy. And however, even after spending $5 billion, nothing has changed. The balance of power in the executive and the legislative branches of the U.S. government remains the same as before the elections. The Democrats still maintain the Senate majority, and the Republicans maintain the House of Representatives majority. And the presidency is still the same man. Did you watch any of this, or did you think about how does this outcome affect me, or were you involved in it? Were you rooting for one candidate or another? Early on, my wife and I were definitely had our sides picked. And then as the election got closer, we started looking into the Bible to see what it says about participating in these type of events. Should it affect you, or are you a participant or an observer? Prior to the 2012 election, I sort of started to ponder the degree of involvement that a follower of Yeshua should have in this political process. And as it got closer and closer to the day when it was all going to be decided, I thought of a question that really kind of put it all in perspective. And that question was, who would Yeshua have voted for? Where would his allegiance have been placed? Who would have he been rooting for? Would have he been on one side? Would he been a blue candidate or a red candidate? Well, if you turn to John 18, verse 36, I started to get the answer to the questions that I was having about this. And John 18, 36 says that my kingdom is not of this world. Well, that all puts a lot in perspective, but my kingdom is not of this world. So I did some more research on this, and this presentation is the end result. And what I'd like to do is in this presentation, we're going to take a look at a couple of specifics. One is we're going to examine our proper relationship with this world. What is it? Or what is it not? And the second thing we're going to do is investigate a new job description Yahweh has assigned to each and every one of us. You'll see what that is a little later in the presentation. First scripture that really comes to mind is in Romans 12:2. You hear sometimes in churchianity that we are to be in the world and not of the world. And even some people think that's actually a scripture in the Bible. Well, the fact is it isn't a scripture in the Bible. It's a principle in the Bible. And Romans 12, verse 2, highlights it. There's a couple of places that it's highlighted, but this is the start of it. So I'm going to read that. Consider the admonition of Paul when he said, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh." So there's some key words in here. Conformed, transformed, and renewing of your mind. And we're going to take a look at those words individually in the first part of this presentation to get us an idea of what this scripture really is all about. What is it saying? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may discern or prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. That's what the scripture is saying. Okay, so first of all, let's examine our relationship with this world. The word conformed. The word conformed means to fashion yourself according to a pattern or a process, or to be in union with a pattern or a process. It's Strong's number 4964 in the Concordance. I would say arguably the electoral process in the United States government is a fundamental tenet of our democratic political system. But Romans 12:2 tells us not to be associated or united or conformed with the processes and patterns of this world. We live in this world, but are not of it. As Joshua prayed to the Father just before his arrest and crucifixion, you turn to John verse 17, verses 14 through 16. When he was in the garden with his disciples just before they came to take him away to Pilate, he said a lot of interesting things, but one of them starting in verse 14 of chapter 17, he says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Okay, that's John 17, verses 14 through 16. But you notice that in these three verses that I just read, Yahshua states twice that his followers are not of this world. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. What did he say? He said it twice. If you've received Yahshua's word of truth, then his word of truth tells us what we're supposed to do. And when you receive the truth, you cannot want to be or are part of participants in this world's governments. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, says in John 17, verse 17. The word sanctify is sort of an interesting word all by itself. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means to make holy or purify or venerate. So we're being made holy by his word of truth. We're being separated out and being venerated with deep respect, held in deep respect by Yahshua Messiah. Have you accepted Yahshua's word of truth? Are you associated or united with the processes and patterns of this world? Well, if you are, something's a little bit out of kilter here. You need to get off the fence and follow the instructions that are found in these scriptures. So the first word we looked at is conformed, being fashioned to the patterns and processes of the world. The second word in Romans 12:2 is transformed. So after we are not to be conformed to the patterns and the process, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the word transformed comes from the Greek word metamorphos. And it's number 3339 in the Concordance if you want to look it up. Metamorphos, it probably has a familiar ring to it. The metamorphoses of a butterfly, the stages of a butterfly. Some of you might have studied that in science class. But to be transformed by the renewing of your mind means, transformed means to change, to transfigure, to metamorphose. You may remember the cycle of the caterpillar and the pupa and the butterfly as a kid, and probably observed them. Like I remember finding a caterpillar and then putting it in a little box, and then it made its cocoon, and pretty soon it was this other thing, this pupa, and then pretty soon, I don't know, remember it was 2 weeks later or something, it became a butterfly. But metamorphose is that process. It occurs when a life form changes into a new creature. The end result of the new creature has zero resemblance to the original form. So what you see in the beginning and what you see at the end are two completely different things, as in the transfiguration of the caterpillar to the butterfly. When you look up the scientific term metamorphosis, it's a biological term, and it means, this is sort of interesting, a profound change in form from one stage to the next in the life history of an organism. Sounds like what Yahshua wants us to do, to have a profound change from the old man to the new man. It also means a complete change of physical form or substance. And it also means a complete change of character, appearance, and circumstances. If you looked it up in the dictionary, you'd find these descriptions. This last one I think is significant. A complete change of character, appearance, and circumstance. So the transformation that we are supposed to go through is that complete change of character, appearance, and circumstance. Being transformed into a new person requires us to have a radical change of character, substance, and circumstance. The new person has no spiritual resemblance to the former personality. And some of you may have witnessed that, where people at work will say, well, boy, he or she sure is a different person now that they have this understanding of the Bible. And the new person looks the same, but doesn't act the same, doesn't behave the same, and the spiritual side of the person is a whole new, brand new person. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Next scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Yahshua, he is a new creature, or a new man. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. So this is the kind of transformation that's being expected here and being talked about. So we're no longer conforming to the processes and the ways of this world. We're being changed. We're going through a metamorphosis in a profound change to become a new person, a new character, and be operating with new circumstances. And we do that with the renewing of our mind. Our transformation to a new creature results from the renewing of our mind through Yahweh's Spirit. Renewing means to renovate or make new in freshness. Look in the dictionary and you'll find that renewing and renovation are real similar in their meaning. To restore to good condition. So this renewing and renovation relates to one another. We're to renovate ourselves, to restore to a good condition, make new as if new again, or repair, to reinvigorate, refresh, and revive. What happens is our minds become corrupted through the influences of this world, little by little, sort of like the hard drive on your computer gets fragmented over time and usage. You have to run these utilities to put it back together again, to defrag it. Well, we need to defrag our mind and get rid of the corruption that the world's influences has brought about. There's an endless number of distractions that can subvert our spiritual well-being. If you watched any of the events that preceded the recent election, it should be evident that the political process is permeated with greed and lust for power and ego and all about me. You could easily, I pretty easily concluded that the style of what goes on is more important than the substance that's being produced. The personal ambition and ego are the important processes and the attributes. There's truth doesn't matter too much. If you get caught lying, well, just cover it up with another lie. In Philippians 2, chapter 3, there's a scripture that summarizes this very succinctly. It's Paul's letters to the Philippians. And let's turn there. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in each lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So said in the New King James translation, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So if you watched any of the recent political activity, did you see much of this? Nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Everything was being done with lowliness of mind, esteeming the other candidate to be better than himself. Well, I think not. That process is upside down to, if you tried to reconcile it to Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 3, the process is, the political process is just upside down. The renewing of our mind is tantamount to renovating an old dilapidated building. Now, out where we live in Montana, our property had some older buildings on it that needed to be renovated. And the renovation process is one where you tear the walls down, tear the insulation out, tear the old electrical out. You get rid of all of the material that's weathered and old and starting to fail. If the roof is leaking, you have to take the roof off to replace it with new. And this renovation process in our lives is much the same. We've got to shed all of those old, weathered, and worn out materials and replace them with new fresh materials and get rid of the dysfunctional systems. If the electrical system is not functioning properly and not all the plugs work, well, it's dysfunctional. You need to replace it or fix it. Same way with any kind of water systems. If your water system, your plumbing system, and your well's not working properly, you have to renovate it, and sometimes you have to tear things out and make them better. So the renewing of our mind is a similar kind of a process. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, Paul also has some other useful comments and useful scriptures on this topic. Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 24. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man after Yahweh is created in righteousness and true holiness. In the New King James Version, it says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, becoming dysfunctional, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renovated is what that word means, being renewed. And that you put on the new man which was created according to Yahweh in true righteousness and holiness. So there's a pretty big difference here between the old and the new, and these scriptures point that out pretty succinctly. Now, the end result of all of this, I mean, it's the title of the presentation, Politics to Butterflies. And we are finally morphing into a butterfly. We're going from a state that you previously couldn't see to one now that you can see that's totally different, that has zero appearance from the old man. Have you received and accepted Yahweh's word of truth? If you have, you will not be involved with the patterns and the processes in the world that we're talking about. You'll have made a complete change of form and substance. Just as the caterpillar morphs into a butterfly, your mind will have been renovated and restored to a new, fresh condition, previously never manifested. You'll be a new person, and everybody's going to say, wow, there's a new person there. Particularly our Savior, Yeshua. That's who we want to pattern ourselves after. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we'll also read at this point. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, for our conduct or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, Yeshua Messiah, who shall change our evil body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Wow, you'll be empowered by Yahweh's Spirit, and your citizenship will not be of this world. And back to Romans 12:2. Let's put these pieces together now. And be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, discern what is good and acceptable and perfect will. So conformed to this world. Be not a part of the process, the procedure, the character of the world, but be transformed, just like the caterpillar is transformed into the butterfly by the renewing or the renovating, the rebuilding of your mind with Yahshua's Spirit, that you may prove and discern what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of Yahweh. So this scripture in Romans 12:2 has a lot of depth to it that maybe we haven't previously gotten, but looking in depth, looking at the words in detail really helped me understand it. Okay, so that tells us that not to be in the world, or not to be of the world, but just to be in the world. And Yahshua said, and we pray that Satan will be kept at bay, because we're going to be here. Now, the second thing I want to go to in this presentation, I want to take a look at, is our new job description. Yahweh's assigned us a new job description, and let's take a look at what that might be. We're going to be citizens in heaven, but in a way, there's another scripture in 2 Corinthians that we're going to get to in a minute. But we're empowered through Yahweh's Spirit, and we're to morph into a new character and not remain in the world. We are in the world, but not of it, and we do not align ourselves with futile human endeavors, because we're not citizens in this world. For our citizenship is in heaven, just as we read in Philippians 3:20. You know, if you've ever traveled to a foreign country, of course, it's only foreign if you don't live there. You know, you're the visitor. So if you're a visitor in a country that you're not a citizen, you're really acting as a stranger or a pilgrim. And if you travel over to Europe, as an example, you have to take your visa. And what you know is, when you set ground on territory that's not of your sovereign citizenship, then you really behave differently. You're on alert to not break any of their laws. You don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to get into any arguments and debates, and you don't want to be involved particularly in their political process. You don't go over to France and start becoming involved in who their next president or prime minister is going to be. So visiting another country is really a pretty good example of what our relationship is here on this earth by comparison. So we are strangers and pilgrims to the earth, just as a person might consider themselves a stranger or a pilgrim if they were to visit a foreign land and be traveling on a visa. You don't have the legal rights is the point. And you know the importance of showing respect and complying with the local laws and ordinances. And that's what you do. You treat your travel to the foreign land with respect. By contrast, as citizens of heaven, we are merely sojourners during our visit here on earth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. I'm going to read this in the New King James. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of Yahweh, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners or strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So we are strangers and pilgrims visiting here in this foreign land on this earth. When you visit a foreign country, you may find it interesting to observe their political process and wonder what in the world are they doing and who are these candidates. You might make yourself aware of what's going on and look at the current news trends and local events, but you keep an arm's length relationship with the local practices and customs. You don't participate in them. You only observe them. Becoming involved in selecting their leaders and legislation is not your interest, and you simply don't participate in it. But you know, we have a new job description, and that new job description, as I mentioned a little bit ago, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. This is familiar scripture. I don't know if you've thought of our job. This is our job description, but I think it's very appropriate to say this is what Yahshua and Yahweh have assigned us to do. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, New King James Version says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Messiah. As though Yahweh were pleading through us, we implore you on Messiah's behalf. Be reconciled to Yahweh, for he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Yahweh in him." Wow. Ambassadors for Messiah. So our right and proper relationship with this world is as an ambassador for Yahshua, is what it says. Ambassador for Yahshua. Not of Yahshua. An ambassador for Yahshua. Just as a sidelight in researching this topic, the word ambassador is really only found a handful of times in the scriptures in the Bible. In the New Testament, this word that's translated ambassadors in 2 Corinthians 5, ambassadors for Messiah, that's only found twice in the New Testament. The other place is in Ephesians 6, verse 20, where Paul says, "For I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly." Of course, he's in prison there. That's the reason he's talking about ambassador in chains. But ambassador is used a few times in the Old Testament scriptures, but in the New Testament, these are really the only two times that you'll find it. Now notice something else. We read 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21. I'm doing this in reverse order because I'm trying to make a point. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19, just a couple verses preceding, a real interesting part of the scripture now can be put together. "Now all things are of Yahweh, who has reconciled us to himself through Yahshua Messiah, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that Yahweh was in Yahshua reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." The word of reconciliation. Now, if we follow that with the scripture in 5:20 and 21, "As a result, now then, we are ambassadors for Messiah. As though Yahweh were pleading through us, we implore you on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to Yahweh, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Yahweh in him." We are ambassadors of reconciliation. That's the assignment that he's giving us here in these scriptures. And so if you wanted to have a title, you'd be called Ambassador of Reconciliation for Yahshua Messiah. There can't be any higher calling than that. What an unbelievably astounding opportunity that Yahweh has offered us. In Philippians 3, verse 14, a scripture comes to mind that I want to read, because Paul really succinctly tells us the importance of this calling. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Yahweh in Messiah Yahshua. The mark of the high calling. And when I looked up this word high in the Greek for this scripture, it means on top, above, or brim. Bottom line, it doesn't get any better than this. This is the top, most significant and senior calling that anyone could have. You know, the job promotion that you might have wished for or been working for, none of that's of any significance at all by comparison to the high calling, the top calling that Yahshua Messiah has placed on us. Yahweh wants us to be ambassadors for the reconciliation to Yahshua. So, if we summarize where we're at this point, the first part of this presentation was what is our role and responsibility in this world. And it was, the bottom line is, Romans 12:2 was really the scripture that kind of put the best understanding on this, that we are not conformed to this world, and we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we're not to be participating in this world's practices. We have a higher calling. We're to be ambassadors. And that's the second part, that our calling is to be an ambassador for Yahweh, an ambassador of reconciliation, the reconciliation that's provided through his redemption and through his blood. So I'm going to wait until the second part of this to go into the details of our roles and responsibilities. So next time, we're going to take a look at the roles and responsibilities of our ambassadorship. We're diplomats in the heavenly kingdom, and what roles and responsibilities do we have? There's a number of different types of ambassadors that you find out in the world. There's roving ambassadors, goodwill ambassadors, peace ambassadors, ambassadors for peace. You've probably heard all these things. Ambassadors at large, cultural ambassadors. There's ambassadors with portfolio, and there's ambassadors without portfolio. I'm going to show you next time which type of ambassador we are and the credentials that we carry and the responsibility that we carry and the roles and the responsibilities that Yahweh expects us to perform in the duties and the line of our work. So until next time, Shalom.